Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and I'm coming to you today from Owosso, Oklahoma, which is just up the road from Collinsville, where our church is. And we had a wonderful time Sunday. If you'd like to go back on archives and watch it, we called it On the Back Porch with the Brims. And it's a glorious church, Collinsville, Oklahoma, and the archives from Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we just had a good time with our family and talking about the things of the Lord as if we were on a back porch. Shelley and Chip and Chip's wife and me and Kylie. We showed some old time pictures and just had some fun if you'd like to get in on some of that. And I know all of you this morning, you're all about the Israeli elections. And so I went online to the Jerusalem Post, and at 1 o'clock, now, of course, they're ahead of us, you know. So at 1 o'clock p.m., with 63.10% of the ballots cast, the top two parties, the Likud, which is headed up by Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Blue and White, which is headed up by Benny Gantz, were very close. Blue and White was one seat ahead at that time, with 32 seats, and Likud at 31. But now it's 4 o'clock there. And a very recent Washington Post report, I'm going to read it to you. Israel's two main parties are locked in a dead heat as negotiations begin for a new government. Both main parties, with 90% of the vote in, have 32 seats each. The inconclusive result was almost certain to trigger weeks of political infighting, the same uncertainty that set this unusual process in motion in the first place. As the results continue to trickle in, both Prime Minister Netanyahu, leader of the Likud, and his chief rival, Benny Gantz, head of the centrist secular Blue and White faction, immediately began jockeying for the endorsement of smaller parties. President Rivlin, in the coming days, will offer one or the other the opportunity to form a government. When this happened before in April, he offered to Benjamin Netanyahu the opportunity to form a government, and he failed to form a coalition and called for a new election. So that's what got this election in the first place. So now it's virtually at the same place it was then. As you may or may not know, Israel has 120 seats in their government. So to have a majority, you must have 61 seats. Now, if these two parties got together, of course they could have it. And that has happened before, when the two main parties would get together and one would rule, they would rule jointly, and they might divide the time between one or the other, but that won't happen with these two parties. They're too far different in their theologies, in their ideologies, rather. Both of them have announced that they can build a government. Benny Gantz announced that, and then Benjamin Netanyahu, in 30 minutes later, said, "We will be able to get a government together." So that remains to be seen. The parties again, Lieberman, who has I'm not sure how many, but I think it was seven seats, which would have been one more than the last time. He becomes like a powerhouse with his seven seats, saying which one that he will go to. So Israel's back in the same place where they were, and we are praying. We have to keep praying that God's will be done. It seems almost impossible to think in your mind that they would go to a third election. So whichever one Rivlin, the president, offers the opportunity to, and both of them say that they are confident that they could form a government this time. So the next few days, seeing what, if it remains locked as 32-32 and only 10% of the vote to be counted, However, I was in Israel during an election. I've told you about it before. We had a wonderful tour guide. His name was Aaron Peak. He was a survivor of the Holocaust. And he was very, very close with the top leaders of the conservative government. We were there. The Lord had sent us there. He sent us there. It was 1996, and he sent us there to pray about the election. When we got to our place, Ariel, our place on the West Bank, we were told, and when I phoned them and made the reservations for a few of us that were going on that trip, they said, if you're going to pray about our elections, you have to go to Alon Moray. We didn't even know where Alon Moray was, but we found out that it is a lone oak tree, and it's what in Genesis it says, that Abraham came there, and he met, the King James said, at the plain of Moray. But actually, it is Alon Moray, the oak tree of Moray, and God met him there and said, I give you this land. So it was the first place God spoke to Abraham when he came into the land. So we went there and we prayed. When we got, that's 2.5-3 hours from Jerusalem. We came down from there, we finished our prayer. We drove back to Jerusalem, and by the time we got to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem Post was predicting, it was nighttime, and they were predicting that the left had won. We were watching the election returns, our own peak. Oh, he got so tickled because it was close. He said, we won, we won. And in fact, the Jerusalem Post had printed their paper in the morning. The headlines came out. He said, no, they haven't counted the army vote yet, and we will win when it comes in. And sure enough, the right won, and the conservatives won. So here we are, down to the wire again. With 10% of the vote coming in, one of them could clearly come ahead of the other. But as it stands right now, then the next move, it remains 32-32, then the next move will be to President Rivlin to decide which one of them he offers the government to, the right to form a government. So let us pray right now. Heavenly Father, it is written in your word. First of all, in order to pray for Israel, you said to pray for all men, pray for the leaders. In order to pray for the people of Israel, we lift up their leaders. Oh, Holy Father, they're only men. They're only women. But which one, Lord, will yield to you? Which one, Lord, will do what you want? Oh, Father, we pray that one of them will come into power. One of them who will maybe not totally follow your will, but be better than the other. One of them has to be better than the other at following God. And Lord, in the name above all names, I don't know if the polls have closed over there yet. It's 4:00. I would think not. But Father, in the name above all names, we would ask you to move upon people going to the polls. We would ask you to make it clear for President Rivlin to whom he should offer the opportunity to build a government. We know, Holy One, that none of man's governments are really adequate. Only God, and only when the true King of Israel comes. But now, Father, we ask for the best that we can get. We ask for the best Israel to get. They are threatened. There's a threatening Iran, Father, has moved upon the oil fields of Saudi Arabia with an attack. The world is once again right on the brink of possible war with Iran, and the one that stands exactly in Iran's path with close proximity for its missiles is Israel. Lord, I don't see it in the Word. I don't see any kind of a of a nuclear attack with Israel, upon Israel. But, oh, Father, Ishalamonte, as men would look at things, it's a kasohonemaka right now. Oh, fretasho denje batote, malavratisko to pretataduguhu jande, inivretoshe de la balatito to sante. E cafrodoscete le baladoni ne calaprati, cafrodisanto hopa, melebrote, santo le coprate. Ije de banda, here we are, Father, from across the United States and Canada and the world, even Australia, ishote. Our hearts love Israel because it is the apple of your eye. And in your word, you clearly tell us, it is the chosen country. It is the chosen nation. They are the chosen people. And they are the ones about whom all prophecy points that you'll bring them home. We live in a time when they're brought home, Lord. And we know for sure, because it is written in Jeremiah chapter 31 that he which gathered Israel will protect him as a shepherd does his flock. You will keep Israel. So we know you will. We know you will. And we ask you to keep them, Lord, with your own mighty power. And if it be thy will, Shalom de levra passata, Isolomo combreti shantoro gobrate de vrapante. We ask you, Father, you who do lift up kings and put down kings, we ask you to put in the one, Lord, Ishana Mahala Bratata, that would be the best for the people of Israel and the plan of God. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Benjamin Netanyahu, just shortly after Benny Gantz said that he could build a government, Benjamin Netanyahu vows that he could build a new government. And he said, we will stand united in the missions ahead for Likud and for Israel. We are still waiting for the true results. One thing is clear, the state of Israel is at an historic juncture ahead of great security and diplomatic challenges and opportunities. Singling out Iran and the policies of U.S. President Donald Trump, Netanyahu said, we need to make sure we maintain our achievements. Negotiations with Trump will decide Israel's future for decades, so Israel needs a strong, stable, and Zionist government, he said. The government of Benjamin Netanyahu would definitely be more Zionist than the other party. I do know a member of the other party, one of the leaders, as a close friend of mine, General Ya'alon. He's the number two man in the other party, but the number three man is very leftist, and I know the number one man, Benny Gantz, is a good man, but we prayed and God's will be done, so that's where we're going to leave it. Now, concerning the thing that has just happened with Iran, from the Jerusalem Post, I took this headline this morning, U.S. mulls military action against Iran after attack on Saudi Arabia. United States President Donald Trump was briefed on a series of military options against the Islamic Republic and requested that more be offered. The U.S. is considering a possible retaliatory action against Iran following a Sunday attack on oil factories in Saudi Arabia. It was a drone attack. Some of you followed it probably already. It destroyed a lot of their oil fields and their oil production. The Iranian, now this is back to the Post item, the Iranian-backed Houthi movement in Yemen claimed responsibility for the attack. But Saudi Arabia and the U.S. claimed that Iran carried out the attack from Iranian territory, and that they have evidence to back their claim. For one thing, now this is me talking, I read in another article, the Houthis couldn't possibly have the ability to do this. Iran did it, and they did it from their own soil. The U.S. President Donald Trump was offered a range of actions that America might take, from a cyber attack on Iranian targets to a strike on Iranian oil factories, and the president requested to be presented with more options. Another option might include a Saudi strike against Iran, backed and aided by the U.S., but not carried out by U.S. forces. There was a headline in the USA Today. I'm in a hotel, so that's the only paper they have. And really, normally, about that paper, I say that the only thing good in it is the crossword puzzle. They do have good crossword puzzles, but it's a very leftist paper. But their headline said that President Donald Trump does not want war. And I really feel that's the will of the Lord right now, that this, if we were pushed into a war right now, satanically pushed into one, it would be at the wrong time and really not according to the lineup, exactly as a war certainly is coming with Ezekiel 38 and 39, but Iran is not the instigator of it, not the head of it. So Mike Pompeo is the United States Secretary of State, and he will meet today with Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince in Jeddah to discuss the attack on Aramco installations and coordinate efforts against Iranian aggression. The U.S. mission to the United Arab Emirates said. Mike Pompeo will meet with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to discuss the recent attack on the kingdom's oil facilities and coordinate efforts to counter Iranian aggression in the region. A Twitter posting said, Pompeo will then travel to the UAE capital, Abu Dhabi, to meet with its crown prince, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, and discuss regional and bilateral issues. A friend of mine spent quite a bit of time with Mike Pompeo last week. It was before these attacks, and he and other Christians were in Mike Pompeo's office, and they were praying with him. He said Mike Pompeo had a Bible on his desk, open, that he refers to, and he asked for prayer. He asked that we pray for him. Now, this thing had not come up yet on Sunday, but the Bolton, the John Bolton firing, and other things had happened. And he requested prayer and made very evident to him how much he needed it and how much he relied upon prayer. Now, since my friend went there, a minister of the gospel, and reported to me what happened, and he told Mike Pompeo, he said, I am going to tell people of prayer, people who are really, really involved in prayer, to pray for you. So he, my friend, immediately started a conversation with me. And, of course, that means you, because you're part of the prayer group that God has raised up and given me some influence with. Maybe I'm just, like a little reporter, I don't know what, but he did tell me to help the prayers, and that's you. So I want to give you Mike Pompeo. I want you to put him on your prayer list and keep praying for him. Keep holding him, hovering over him. And let's do it right now together. Holy, heavenly, matchless, wonderful Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we make a request. We're asking you to send heavenly help to Mike Pompeo as he is there in Saudi Arabia, as he travels through the Far East, travels through the Arabian area. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, think through his mind, speak through his lips, give him favor and give him understanding that he will see and he will know and he will not in any way be deceived. Oh, Father, we ask you to have heavenly messengers and be right in on these meetings yourself. Oh, hola marati shando, with your presence and your presence upon Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State. Think through his mind, Lord. Speak through his lips. Let him know, God, that prayer is being lifted up for him. Sometimes when I'm traveling, Lord, I feel like it seems to me like I'm traveling up on prayer. I know that prayer travels and goes quickly to the heart of the Father and comes back from the heart of the Father in answers. And I know that prayer undergirds people who are on this earth doing God's work. Father, in the name above every name, undergird Mike Pompeo with our prayers. Ifrono beshato, elivamborosito lo gobre caladanye ne copre, vridanyo noche, anyene gombre calagaladinyo roshate. The time has come, the time has come. Oh, Father, the time has come. I brote shevrato safra bakale mete, I je debalio safra papalote nini capro colevrita. Army of prayers, rise up to his bidding, rise up to do his bidding. I frote shenamalito lo brato. It is important that we pray, it is so important that we work with God. I frote sheli balote di mamare toshete, e calavara basciando lo coprete le catagne no cohuvrete, e jete balotete de gahalapra. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. While we're here in Oklahoma, we did that back porch setting on Sunday. And Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then Monday and Tuesday, Chip and then Shelley and I made our December and January Prophetic Witness television broadcast. We did 9 programs. And the Lord told us, emphasize the authority of the believer and muster the troops. Muster the troops means that you muster them, you assemble them, you get them together for duty, and you give them their orders, their marching orders. And so we talked about the authority of the believer, and we ask the people, and we ask you to please phone us, go online. That's really the best way to go online, billybrim.org. And to commit to pray, first of all, for the president, of course, and then commit. These are 2 different things you can sign up online. One of them is, first of all, campaign for the president. And the second one is the authority of the believer. This means that you'll sit in your seat of authority first thing every morning, and you will take authority, especially the habitational authority in the heavenlies where you live. My little book tells you just how to do it, the authority of the believer and how to use it. And then also we offered John A. McMillan's marvelous textbook on the matter, you might say, and Brother Hagin's The Believers of Authority. We offered them for this price, and we'll give them to you. The little book, my little book, The Authority of the Believer, the mini book, and how to use it, $2. Order plenty of them and send them out. Carry them with you. It tells you in there just how to do it. John A. McMillan's book, The Authority of the Believer, $10. Kenneth E. Hagin's The Believer's Authority, $7. All of these are special prices, and all together they're $19. We'll make that same offer to you. But please do call us today if you have not done it, or go online, or snail mail, Billy Brim, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 50126. Now, just today, This is in national news. I'm in Oklahoma, and the article's about an Oklahoma woman, but it's I got the item off of Fox News. You can go on and read it yourself. Oklahoma woman, 18, threatened to, quote, shoot 400 people for fun at her former high school. An Oklahoma woman was arrested after allegedly threatening to shoot hundreds of people for fun at her former high school, investigators said. Alexis Wilson, 18, was taken into custody Monday after authorities received an anonymous tip that she had told friends and co-workers of her idea to open fire at McAllister High School in Pittsburgh County. McAllister, I would say, is about 40 miles south of Tulsa. One of Wilson's co-workers at a pizza restaurant told the sheriff's office the 18-year-old had been posting videos of herself shooting firearms, KOTV reported. Wilson allegedly claimed she wanted to shoot 400 people for fun and that there were so many people at her old school that she would like to do it. Wilson denied such threats to investigators, but admitted she suffers from mental issues like suicidal and homicidal thoughts. She claimed she was trying to tell a coworker that not everyone who owns a gun is bad. But the woman's mother, according to KOKI-TV, knew her daughter had been saving up and recently purchased an AK-47. I had more about that AK. They found in her room the AK-47. They found several rounds of ammunition. Somehow I read that, but I didn't get it on my notes here. And it looked like she had stashed up the arms to do such a thing. The sheriff's department is very grateful to have had this tip. Now, there was also last week in Fort Worth, Texas, a man phoned in that his son had taken a large amount of money out of the bank. He, too, had mental issues and had purchased, was on the streets trying to purchase weapons. He'd been turned down in one retail store, but in on the street he had found some, and they got him. Now, here's the thing. Both of these people have mental issues. I'm quite sure that the enemy was behind their getting moved to shoot people, to buy AK-47s, to do whatever they plan to do. But someone phoned in for both of them. And I believe with all my heart, I know there are people here in Oklahoma who know how to take their seats of authority and do so. In the greater Tulsa area, in McAllister, I'm quite sure. Now, also in Fort Worth. And such things as these are found out. Remember how Hebrews says everything is open to him. I think it's Hebrews 4:13. Everything is open and nothing concealed from him with whom we have to do. So all of these things, these little people that the enemy would try to use, God knows about it. And as we make our requests, as we use our authority over those demons and don't let them act, then such things as this are avoided. How grateful I am that Oklahoma is not today mourning over a tragedy at McAllister High School. So please do not only commit to do it, but do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Billy Brim, and you can write us at Billy Brim Ministries, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 50126. Praise. Oh, 5, Shelley said, 50125. It depends on whether it's the post office. Okay, what? I'm giving. 5615. I'm in Oklahoma, and I'm giving you the Oklahoma. I'm sorry. It's actually 65615, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. So there you have it, 65615. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We thank you, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. I'm driving from here up to Osage Beach, Missouri, where Larry Ollison there at Walk on the Water Church, he and Loretta are having a meeting, an annual meeting that they have. Bob Yandian is speaking there, others. I want to lift up Larry and Loretta Ollison and that meeting. Will you do that with me, please? Heavenly Father, in the name above all names, this couple is so dear to us, and we are so thankful for their ministry, not only there in Osage Beach, but throughout the world and throughout the body of Christ. They travel to Malta. They have a wonderful ministry there on that island where Paul did. And Father, we just lift them up. We lift them up for their strength, their health, their wealth, and the spiritual, this meeting. And I ask you, Lord, to help me as we travel. Shelley and I travel, and I'll be speaking there tomorrow night. I thank you for strength. I thank you for a message. I thank you for blessing that meeting. And I thank you for the agreement of this wonderful, dear, dear prayer group that we have on this line right now. And I know you've heard us, and I know the angels, and I know your heavenly army and your earthly army are working together on those things that we've prayed about this very day. Noontime prayer today is going to come to you from Collinsville. You're going to just tune into it just like you always do. And, of course, Brenda will be out there at Prayer Mountain for the folk who do come out there to pray. But online, the Wednesday prayer is going to be coming here from Collinsville, Oklahoma. You still tune to it the same way you did. The way you go online to get it, that's how you do it. And so, this is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom. Until next time.